Okay, welcome back, everybody. This week, we head into part two of unlearning the things that they want you to believe. They being, you know, the conventional financial system, we would call it, out there. So what are some of the points we hit on this week, Paul?
Yeah, so one of the biggest ones, the first one we talk about is that life insurance is only for death benefits.
Yeah.
And on this podcast, we talk about the living benefits. And then, of course, we kind of touch upon in the next few items there that how you tap those living benefits and how you use them and how we've used them. And then we went on a tangent about SGLI for a second and other stuff.
So but, if you're military, stay tuned. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good point. I posted on my personal Facebook, but yeah, stay tuned. Enjoy this episode.
Hey, I'm Dave.
And I'm Paul.
And this is the Wealth Warehouse Podcast. All right. So we just took a break in between the recording episodes here, and you've been moving furniture, huh? Did you get a good workout?
You know, that king-size headboard is no joke. Like, it's a sleigh bed, and it's... I know it's made in China, but man, it was heavy.
Yeah. Yeah, that stuff. Well, that's kind of nice. You're purging, and then you're just going to get new furniture in the new house.
Yeah, all of our stuff is at an Ethan Allen warehouse storage facility for our bedroom, our living room, or family room, whatever, great room. And then Carmella will buy hers locally in Tennessee, and then Anthony's bedroom set will be here in a few weeks, and I'll move it with a U-Haul.
Oh, a little Diddy move, huh?
Oh, you got to do it, man. Yeah, I move probably, and we get two moves, right? So we can move like.
You do. You both get a move. That's awesome.
Yeah. We can move 30,000 pounds, I think.
Yeah. So you'll move. One of you will use a move to the short-term rental that you got to stay in. And then you'll use the other move to get into the real house.
No, because we're not really moving. The short-term rental is fully furnished, actually. Mm. So we move the boat. Okay. That's part of our ditty. That's 6,000 pounds right there. And then we just move, you know, we'll move some of our weights and a few odds and ends here. My new desk, that will be my new podcasting desk when I move into the new house eventually, sometime later this year, hopefully.
Nice.
Is downstairs in my living room right now, or my family room. One of those rooms. The room that nobody uses, whatever room that is.
Yeah.
I think that's the living room.
Maybe. We don't really have a room in our house that nobody uses.
I know.
Every single room gets used. Yeah.
Yeah. Even the downstairs, which is very nice.
Yeah. Well, that's where I prefer the kids to be. So, and they're all home now, man. Finally, everybody's home for summer and it's just nonstop. So you got to get out of there. Get over here during the workday, get some stuff done, and then go back home for baseball games and everything else we got going on.
Right on.
Yeah, well, all right. Well, let's pick up where we left off last week, man. We were talking about unlearning everything. So if you are just joining this week with this episode, go back one and hear the first four points we made on the things that you really got to unlearn when you start practicing and start out on this infinite banking journey. So we won't recap the ones we talked about. We'll just jump in here to the point number five, which is unlearning the misconception that life insurance is only for the death benefit. And that's a big one, right? Because if it was only for the death benefit, we wouldn't be doing this business. Not that it wouldn't be worth, you know, it's still a valid thing to have just for the death benefit, but you wouldn't be able to bank out of it.
No.
Or bank with
it. I owned whole life insurance from 2003 to 2019. That was non-participating, meaning non-dividend paying, very low premium. I think we paid like $1,000 a month across like 12 policies.
Wow.
Maybe $1,200, whatever it was. Not a lot. A lot relative to most people, but probably not a lot to people practicing the infinite banking concept.
Yeah.
And I never took a life insurance cash value loan, despite having, by the end there, when we did that 1035, we had over $80,000 of cash value across those policies.
Wow.
So not an insignificant amount of capital.
And were you even tracking that at the time?
I knew it was there because I had my my policy, right? And on page four, it had the values that never change, right? Yeah. It's non-participating. So there's no, it's static. Like this is what the cash value will be at age 30, at age 35, age 40, age 45. And then if you wanted it beyond age 60 or 65, you had to call or something to see what it would be. But
And I know, you know, I had somebody I worked with in another capacity say, mentioned they had a couple policies they've had for years. And I said, well, let me take a look at them. They had something like $65,000 of cash value. He didn't even know he had that cash value. And he didn't even know he could access it.
Yeah.
No
didn't
idea.
Didn't read the contract.
Didn't read the contract. Right. So there's probably a lot of people, even people listening who may have some old policies. Maybe your parents gave them to you. Grandparents started it for you and you took it over or something like that. You may have some cash value in there. Do not get rid of those policies. You know, you're probably way better off keeping them going. And that's what I told this guy. I was like, no, keep paying these premiums. You've been paying them for 20 years. This is a good thing for you at this point.
Yes. I did the same thing with my in-laws. They've got some old, I guess technically they're New York Life policies from like 1972, which is the year they got married.
Yeah.
And they were premium offset from the get-go. And so the premium was reduced over time. But the premium now is like, I don't know, $130 a year or something. And they still had premium offset, but it was actually backfiring on them. Mm. So I told them, hey, redirect the dividend to PUA and pay that $125, $130, whatever it was.
Yeah.
It's literally that much out of pocket.
Yeah.
And you'll be better off.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's crazy that the companies know what the best thing for you would be, but their agents don't. The agent, the sole
home office people had
no idea.
I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that. Like you talk to home office people, they don't, I feel like they're sitting on gold. They don't really know it.
Well, I wonder how many home office people have whole life insurance policies themselves.
It would be interesting to know. And I know in the past on the advisory committee, I've actually seen some of their stuff because they were just talking about it and they showed it. And, you know, the premium levels were just meager.
Really?
Like anemic.
Yeah.
I was like, man.
Well, they would do well by telling their home office people, have a conversation with Dave and Paul. And maybe you'll start paying more premium in the home office. You know, the company will start making more money, have bigger dividends.
Yeah. And I had a conversation fairly recently with a guy from another company, a home office, you know, brokerage type person that's, you know, out there from that company that you used to write business for that you no longer write business for. And, you know, this guy was convinced that he was going to do a 10 pay and he's younger than we are.
Yeah.
And I was like, why? Why?
Because you could do just like we do and decide to stop paying after 10 years anyway.
Right.
You don't have to make it a 10 pay. Yeah.
Give yourself the contractual ability to pay the premium that you want to pay now and for 30, 40, 50 years in the future. If you're really young, 80 years in the future.
Because back to this whole point, that there's living benefits to this, not just death benefit. And, you know, which is why we think they call it life insurance instead of death insurance.
Right.
Because it can pay you out during your lifetime. I mean, all the benefits in every episode we talk about lists some benefits to having dividend paying whole life insurance. But it's great to have that something that, hey, the death benefit's great. I know it's going to be there and it's going to continue to grow over time. Every single year, it'll get bigger. If I'm paying my premium and I'm using dividends to purchase more PUA, this thing is just going to get better and better. And in the meantime, I can access all that capital while it continues to grow uninterrupted. I can access it tax-free, blah, blah, blah. I mean, so many living benefits. You got to unlearn this misconception that like any most other insurance, like auto insurance, home insurance, you don't build anything of value. There's no equity that you have in that.
Right. There's no value in term.
Like term insurance, there's no equity. It is strictly for that indemnity. It should something happen, right? So, and that's that's Nelson's book. Like, read the book and you'll learn the living benefits of this product.
Yeah, and it's like anything else. It's you need to seek out this information and learn it, Because everything that your Uncle Bob or some Yahoo on YouTube is saying about whole life insurance, I don't care if he's got the four acronyms below his name, CFP and all this other crap. He doesn't know anything. I'm sorry. Like, he doesn't know anything about the infinite banking concept and how to strategically and with purpose and intent use whole life insurance to better your family situation, which just made me think of a different unlearning thing. Why don't we unlearn this idea that the next generation doesn't matter and screw them?
I don't need to give anything to my kids. I don't want to leave them a bunch of money and spoil them. Yeah. Unlearn that this is only about you. Yeah, that's good. You know, it's a perpetual cycle of, unlearn this idea that your kids won't be better off than you, or that you can't create a very wealthy family for generations to come.
Yeah. And that's the main, one of the main reasons I'm doing this is, and again, I've evolved on this idea, but now that I know I've got a product that I can, a process that I can implement, have my cash and eat it too, you know what I mean, kind of, or mm-hmm. have my death benefit and eat it too, however you want to look at it. I want more of this. Once you understand the relationship between the cash value and the death benefit and the implementing the process of IBC, you want more and more of this, right? Not less of it.
And what's fun is you and I are always strategizing, how are we going to create our next policy? You know, how am I going to start a new policy? How can I do that? And you know, what kind of things am I going to put in place to ensure I can do that? Because I want more. I've got a whole lot of convertible term I need to convert over the next 9 years.
Yep, eight it's and a always, half now. Yep, it's always, yeah, exactly. It's always on my mind. Like, am I going to convert all of it?
Mm-hmm.
Right, because Tammy's got one, I've got one, and I'm doing the math. And, you know, it's going to take a tremendous amount of premium. That's kind of one of the advantages of getting older, too, is that I don't have to use up all my death benefit with this convertible term because it's taking more and more premium dollars to actually convert the death benefit.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? So I can actually get more premium dollars into a policy the older I am without using up as much death benefit.
That's a very good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Cool. All right. Well, on to the next. So unlearn a dependence on financial institutions on banks for loans. You know, the fact that it's just it's a matter of fact. Well, I'm going to go buy a new house. Well, that means I have to go get start a new relationship with a bank and get a 15, 30 year mortgage. Don't do 15, do 30. Yes. You got to do one. But this idea that there'll never be a way to separate myself from the banking system. And guess what? Even if it's not you, wouldn't it be great if your kids didn't have to rely on the financial on the banking system and these financial institutions in order to do those things they're going to do in life, which is get an education, maybe start a business, take care of family members who have medical issues, buy a house, buy multiple houses, pay for weddings, all this stuff. Like, wouldn't it be great, even if you can't do it in your lifetime, you can set it up in a way that your kids are going to be able to do that?
Yeah, especially when you look at the level of money printing, you know, inflationary spending that is done, you know, acutely over the last 5 years. Like, it's been awful.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the price of real estate and you look at these, I feel bad for these young people. They were, you know, they entered college in 2019 and they left in 2022 or 2023, let's say, right? And the price of real estate where they were probably doubled.
Yeah.
In that time. And they were like, well, that plan to go buy that townhouse down the street that was 250K is now 500,000. And the interest rate is triple what it was. Anyway. That's,
you know, you bring up a good point. If you have plans that are 5 to 10 years away and you think I need X dollars to do that, double it. Just be safe. Double it. So, which means you should be paying more premium so you have more capital available when that time comes.
Yeah. And please, for the love of God, please stop on the social media calling for lower interest rates.
Right.
Until you've read, let's see, maybe some Henry Hazlitt or hell, even some Thomas Sowell probably, but some basic economics books on how money works. Stick with the Austrians, you'll be better off if you're reading all their stuff, because you don't know and understand what causes higher prices. You don't understand what inflation is, because your media is not telling you what it is. They're just saying inflation's up or inflation's down. Like,
inflation,
how can inflation?
Yeah, it means things cost
stupid
more.
Stupid talking
that's,
point.
That's not it. I heard a quote today saying, show me the incentive and I'll show you the result. So a 2% interest rate, there's an incentive to go borrow money.
That's right.
And then the result is, you know, the mess you see now.
Nelson says in this book that banks love the low interest rate environment.
Yeah.
Well, they make more money during, because more people are borrowing. More people.
Everybody's borrowing
money. Rolodex.
Yeah, because they say you're stupid if you don't borrow money at this point. Savers are stupid. You better be putting your money into some. And you know, how did that work out? Well, how did that work out for a lot of these syndicators, a lot of apartment investors? One that you may be involved with where, hey, everything was fine and dandy when interest rates were low, and now they have to refinance.
Like rock stars. Yeah.
They look like rock stars, which, you know, a monkey throwing darts could have done just as good a job at them as they did in that kind of interest rate environment. So they made bad decisions based on a current interest rate environment, that when that environment changes, when the wind shift, when the tide goes out, you see who's not wearing any shorts, as Warren Buffett says, right? And now they can't do anything. Like, they, you know, I talked to a client who lost $75,000, lost it all.
I've had a client that lost $100,000 before he was my client, but.
And what were seemingly very solid real estate investments. Backed by actual tangible real estate, right?
Tangible real estate. I just don't understand how how somebody's underwriting when they're looking at that deal, how their underwriting could be that far off.
I don't know. Maybe it has to do with the fact that they're protected, because if everybody loses their money, they're not out any money. They made their acquisition fees.
And they're all non-recourse loans too.
They're all non-recourse loans. They don't owe anything personally.
Right.
You know, but, you know, their reputation must not matter enough to them then, because my reputation means way more than any kind of financial return.
Yeah. Once that bridge has been burned, it's.
You showed your cards. You showed that you're not a professional. You're an amateur. Right. You know, wearing a big league jersey.
And here's a challenge. If you're one of these people that maybe were, you know, poking in the eye a little bit, you know, come on and talk to us about Austrian economics and the business cycle and how it works. And, you know, let's just have a conversation about it. Cause I don't think any of them understand it. It's all great until it isn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. The deal worked. The deal looked great at 2.5% interest only for 3 years. It did not look good at 8%.
Anybody can make a deal look good at 2.5%.
Yeah.
That's easy.
Yeah. Oh, it's appreciating magically.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Anyway, sorry, but we're right.
Yeah. There you go. All right. How about unlearning the short-term mindset of money? I mean, one of Nelson's biggest points is think long range. Yep. Think long range. And what is long range? For some people, long range is 5 years. Long range is not 5 years.
No, generationally.
Yeah. Yeah. Once you can shift that mindset to most people don't even think. I heard it just last week from somebody who said, yeah, well, my money guy never mentioned anything to me about taxes and retirement and what it's going to look like when I start taking money. And now I'm approaching that point. And I'm starting to look at that and thinking, holy cow, I never planned for this gigantic tax hit I'm going to take in retirement, because my house is paid off. I don't have any dependents, no child tax credit, no kids living at home. You can't write off that mortgage insurance. You know, all these other deductions that you may have been used to come retirement, they're not there, because you played by the rules. You did what they said you should do. And now you have a giant tax bill.
Yeah. That's why I appreciate our friend Ryan. You know, he mentions, he talks about those things, even though he's more of a conventional, you know, guy. But he
deals in the markets. Yeah, conventional in that sense. He invests 401ks. But he also has a tax guy on his team.
Yep.
You know, you can bet he's talking about repercussions during retirement. Yeah. And, I mean, he's a retirement expert is what he is.
Yep. And that's why he's advocating that people put all their other, or as much as they can, into this.
Yeah. And if Carrie's listening, hello. I was talking to Ryan last week and he's like, oh, Carrie just walked in. Hey, she said she was just listening to you.
Oh,
cool. I guess we'll see you in a couple weeks. Down in Puerto
Rico. Yeah. See you next month.
Yeah. So, think long term, think long range. Right. And I've heard somebody say this before. We all overestimate what we can do in a year and underestimate what we can do in 5 years or 10 years or 20 years. Like, seriously, 5 years from now, you're going to be, if you don't do anything different, you're going to be in the same position. And 5 years goes pretty quick. I've got a son who's turning 18 this weekend. We got one who's shipping off to the Navy next week. You know, these kids are like 5 years ago. It's whiplash, man.
Yeah, they were children. Look back
and whew, holy cow.
And now they're young men.
Young men. Yeah. Kicking them out the door. So
that's right. Rent's due on the first, boys.
Rent's due on the first. Actually, Bo's car payment is due on the first that he owes me for his Q50.
Yeah. Nice vehicle. Yeah. I checked his oil too, and it was perfect.
Okay, good. Yeah.
They must have changed it right before he bought it.
Yeah, they did.
Because obviously you didn't do it.
I don't change oil. Why would I do that?
But you know how.
Yeah, I used to on base during the workday. I'd go to the hobby shop and just put it on a lift.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it.
That was awesome.
Crawling under a truck in the street like I do here is miserable.
Oh, we discovered Bo doesn't have a spare tire though.
Is there a pump or anything?
Nope.
Nothing. There's nothing. He should carry some Fix-A-Flat.
Okay.
As a candidate. Yep. Just to get him home. That'll ruin. It generally ruins the tire, but it'll get you out of a pinch.
Yeah. Well, Tesla. He's got to put that USAA roadside assistance number in his phone so he knows who to call.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Our Tesla doesn't have a spare. The Hellcat doesn't have a spare. Hmm. The Audi has a donut and the truck has a full size spare.
Yeah.
Like your truck.
Anyway, that was interesting because we were doing something on his car yesterday, but yeah. Anyway, I don't know how we get off on tangents on cars, probably because of you.
People like the back and forth.
Okay. That's right. We got feedback on that. So
yeah,
we'll just go with the market.
Two guys talking about life insurance. What could be more exciting than that?
I tell you, not much. You know,
not much.
So all my buddies, after they left, you know, they're giving me a hard time. And the text thread we're on with all my A10 buddies, they're like, hey, Dave, send us Paul's phone number. We need some insurance. I was like, that's it. The fish is gone. He's taking a long, dirty swim.
Like, I want you to be my insurance guy.
Yeah.
So funny.
Jerks. Anyway, none of them are listening anyway.
No.
Okay, here's one. Here's one of my favorite ones. Unlearn the idea that your choices are either or. They don't have to be either or. Nothing is mutually exclusive.
Yep.
With this concept.
Yeah. Do you still invest money?
Absolutely.
Do you still take advantage of opportunities?
Absolutely. Even more so.
Even more so, don't you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this idea that's perpetuated out there by, you know, these talking heads who, with all the acronyms, who know nothing about what we're talking about. That's where people get this crap. You know, it's looked at as a bill. It's a stupid place to put money. You don't need it. Just buy term and invest the difference. All the, you know, you've heard it all. And none of it's true, which is troubling, right? It's almost, it's defamatory, right?
Because
even though he can't be taken to court probably for defamation because he's not a financial professional. He's just some guy that talks on TV about stuff.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
So he has no credentials. know nothing, but you all you people lap it up. Buy term and invest a difference. That's like the best thing ever.
Yeah. Like,
okay.
Like he's the one that invented that catchphrase anyway.
Right. And he's not. Yeah. A.L. Williams did. And we have encountered in our short life insurance careers, which, you know, 6 and 7 years into this, is that strategy has failed people, like in a bad way. You know, oh, I need whole life insurance because I'm the sole breadwinner. My wife has never worked. My assets haven't accumulated like they all said it they would. I didn't average 12% return. I averaged, or actual return was 5% or 8% or 7%, whatever.
Yeah.
So now they don't have the money that they thought they'd have. And oh my gosh, thank God they knew me, because I was able to rescue one particular guy who was ill, and he was able to do that SGLI conversion.
Nice. Actually, you should promote that real quick.
Oh, yeah. All right. So there's a few companies in the United States that if you're getting out of the military or you're retiring military, that's most of the people I know are retiring. We're all old now. Is that you can convert your SGLI into a permanent whole life policy without going through any kind of financial or medical underwriting. So it's a very simple process. I need your DD-214, your last LES from the, you know, the month before you're actually on the retirement rolls. And then there's one other form you need to get from the SGLI people at Prudential. And it's very simple process. I'm four deep in just like the last couple of weeks here. I did one on myself just to test it. Worked great. I got my brother-in-law going and two other friends.
Cool.
Very, very seamless, very simple, and very quick.
Good. Yep. Well, good. And, you know, if you can, and really that's great, especially if you can't qualify for new life insurance. You're not insurable necessarily.
Yeah. Yeah, so if you had cancer, or if you have really, really severe conditions, whether those might be, you know, psychological conditions or just physical ailments, whatever, it doesn't matter in this case.
Right. Now, if you are healthy, work with us, get a brand new policy in place prior to going through the VA. Just throw that out there. Yes. Can't say that enough.
Yep.
And get what I did for you go one visit the VA.
Right. And what I did for one person is I ran parallel apps. And I, you know, we ended up taking the better option.
There you go. Nice.
Which was the SGLI conversion, just because the other one came back, you know, just due to ailments that you get in the military, you know, came back really unfavorable.
Yeah. Nice. Okay. So back to this one though, the unlearning that, you know, the either or, it's not either or, it's both and.
Both and.
Why would I choose one over another when I can have both? It's just a matter of sequencing your capital. Put it through a policy first. Borrow against the cash value. Now you got it in two places at once. You got your equity in your policy. You got the life insurance company's money out in that investment that you're doing. You can do both at the same time.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, we like to say, like, our money still goes and does everything that everyone else's money goes and does, except it hits life insurance contracts before it goes and executes that stuff.
Yep.
So before it goes by property for investment, or does a joint venture, or does, you know, investing in the stock market, it hits our life insurance contracts first.
Yep. Absolutely. All right. The last point we have on this list is unlearn the idea that life insurance premiums are an expense. And we kind of hit on that last episode just real quickly, I think it was last episode, on some people viewing this as an expense, and that's all they view it as. Well, you obviously don't understand banking then. You don't understand the process of banking. This is not an expense. This is, you know, you're building an asset is what you're doing.
Yep. And I've got people in underwriting right now who I've known for years, who are, let's say they're my family. And, you know, it's one of those things like, oh, that's expensive. And I'm like, listen, I love you, but you haven't listened to me or my podcast partner, Dave, for 1 second over the last 3.5 years. You don't know anything. Like, you don't know this, but I'm saving you, right? Like, this is going to be great. And you're going to, the only thing you're going to wish is that that premium was quadruple what you made it.
And that you had started this 20 years ago.
And you started 20 years ago, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. But so if you want more on that, that, you know, really the premium is the solution. Reference episode 172. We talk all about that. You know, the premium is the solution to your problems. And man, I tell you, at the beginning, it takes a little while to get used to that. Okay, this is, I'm building an asset. I'm building something. I'm building a business. I'm building my own bank. But man, at some point you hit that, you realize, wow, that premium is the solution because the available capital I have to do what I need to do, and what I want to do, it's there.
Yeah. We're no different. Like the, you know, I was Dave's first client, the first four policies I bought, I wish they were bigger.
Sure.
Cause they're so good.
I wish I would have been better at what I would do now.
Yeah. I wish Dave
back then
knew what the heck he was doing. Cause he didn't know anything.
I would have made sure they were bigger for you. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, and I could have done it.
Yeah.
You know, easily could have made those probably double. And, but they're my best performing policies, yet they're some of my smaller premiums.
Yeah.
In a sense.
Well, so, you know, and it's a matter of time. The more time, the better it gets.
Yep.
It's but better I like to explain this one kind of like, you know, your mortgage may feel like an expense, but you know, part of your mortgage every month goes towards the principal of your house. So you own more of your house. You have more equity. Yep.
Is that
principal, the interest is certainly an expense, but is the principal that you're paying towards your house an expense? Well, I mean, not really. You traded a dollar to get a dollar. Yeah. So you didn't lose anything. It's just in a different location now. So that's kind of like paying your life insurance premium, where the majority of that, even up front in the early years, eventually all of it, a handful of years in, all of your payment becomes equity that you own. I mean, it turns into part of the equity. You just, you know, you paid a dollar to get a dollar, or very shortly after you start the policy, in many cases, you pay a dollar to get more than a dollar in equity. Pretty awesome.
Yep. I had that conversation with somebody today and I was like, it's, you know, it's like you understand home equity, except this is far better, and the far better happens far
sooner. Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's not inverted. Like
immediate.
It's not an amortization schedule where it's only a tiny bit going towards equity.
Right. And you're not locking up the equity in the walls of a house where you have to now go to a bank and ask permission to access equity. People are like, oh, I have $500,000 of home equity. I was like, yeah, how much of that can you spend right now?
Yeah.
Zero.
Zero. Yeah, good point. All right. Yep. Well, I think that about wraps it up. So,
good one.
Good. Yeah, good one. I enjoyed it. I hope you guys did too. And enjoy the rest of your week. Enjoy the summer. And I plan to do the same. And
is it summer up there now?
No, it's raining. It's raining in the 60s. So I'm just waiting for the text message from the GroupMe saying, hey, game is canceled.
Right.
Have a good night. You know? So those aren't always like super disappointing for parents. It's like, oh, I get a free night. Cool. A
free night.
All right.
That's right.
I'll take it. Yeah. All right, everybody, enjoy. Until next time, control your capital.
Or somebody else will.
Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. If you'd like to have a conversation with us to see how you can become your own banker, or if you have any questions or topics you'd like us to tackle on a future episode, please send us an email to davidandpaul@theibcguys.com.
And subscribe and leave us a review if you're on Apple. Follow and leave us a 5-star review if you're on Spotify. And please share this with your friends. We'll see you next week.